Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation! The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed?
Oh my God.
The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child Satanists is Vinnie's jokes.
And my very special guest joining us today is architect Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Just got an email from him saying, "Oh my God, I've got so much new information and stuff like that." Have you ever noticed that when you get all these old things that really restructure society, it doesn't matter how old they get, you keep finding out new things about them. The rabbit hole just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper until eventually you start questioning who you are anymore. With that being said, if you're an American in the audience, let's just think about trauma for a moment here. Your nation was attacked, 3,000 of your own people killed. What do? You go to the first person who promises you order. And what they do is they surveil you, they invade countries unilaterally, and then they turn this world into a global police state using a pretext and a justification. What guilt we must all feel to have ever even thought of supporting such a narrative, but we didn't know at the time, did we? But now we do. Just like all the childhood traumas you may have suffered, they weren't your fault, but now that you know, they are your responsibility. So, Richard Gage, Architects, Engineers for 9/11 Truth, without, as they say, in the State of Israel, further ado, please tell people a little bit about you and what you do.
Thank you, Vinny. I am suitably perking up. Thank you for the incredible entry here. I have been active for 15 years bringing the scientific forensic evidence and eyewitness testimony of the destruction of all three World Trade Center skyscrapers to the attention of the public, the media, our elected representatives, for a long, long, long time. And we've done over 700 presentations around the world, almost 700, anyway. And I've got a lot to share with your listeners. I just don't know if I can do it with the level of entertaining expertise, if you will, that you have.
Well, that's why they gave me the gig. We can't all be winners, but just lay into it, man. I mean, like, we've given the pretext, we've got given the context, and everything's out on the table here, because let's face facts here. This a really, really dangerous and scary place sometimes, but the way that you get the darkness to go away isn't by ignoring it, it's by exposing it very truthfully and straightforward. And this is why I loved your presentation so much, because you brought such a degree of credibility to this concept that the government can and will kill its own citizens in order to get what it wants, in order to scare the population, right?
So isn't that crazy?
This is the insanity. You know, you use the word crazy, and you know, people go, "Hey, why is the world looking so crazy? Did it occur to you that crazy people might be in charge?" You know.
Wow. Yeah, and it's evident that they are, because what the evidence shows us regarding the destruction of these buildings and the murder of 3,000 people, and the consequent murder of 2 million people in Iraq and Afghanistan, the decimation of our civil liberties with the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, where any of us can be arrested, thrown in jail without a right to a trial, a lawyer, a jury. We can be tortured. We can even be assassinated. That's where we've come to. And so this is not a good situation. We're in a $6.5 trillion global war on terror. And guess what? It goes back to 9/11.
I'm sorry, so you just said $6.5 million while I was taking a big drink of water and I nearly choked on it. That amount of money doesn't even compute.
It's an extraordinary amount of money. And $2.3 trillion was announced by Donald Rumsfeld that was missing from the Pentagon budget. When did he announce that? The day before 9/11. On 9/11, that whole problem disappeared with a whole new set of problems that they presented as solutions to us. We got to go invade and get those guys who did this to us. It's a false flag operation designed and executed from elements inside the U.S. That's what the destruction of these towers absolutely implies, and not just implies, it proves. So, let's get into it. We've got Building 7, first of all, a 47-story skyscraper that on the afternoon of 9/11, after witnesses hear the explosions, this building, part of the World Trade Center, 7 hours after the Twin Towers went down, this building drops like a rock straight down uniformly, symmetrically. Yeah, that's the one, that 30-second clip there, in the exact manner that you see here. Go full screen on that puppy, because it's incredible. I mean, it drops in 7 seconds at free fall acceleration for a third of that fall. What does that mean? That means not one of the 80 columns in that building gave any resistance to the collapse of this building. What does that mean? That means they were removed. How fast? Instantly. That's the only way you can get a free fall acceleration. That's as fast as a bowling ball falling out of the sky. So when I show architects and engineers this around the country at the engineering and architecture conferences, they go, I say, what is that? And they go, my gosh, that's obviously a controlled demolition. Well, but then they say, that's not the Twin Towers, because I ask them, you know, when this occurred on 9/11, and they say, what do you mean? Okay, now I've got them in cognitive dissonance. Now they can start looking at what they're seeing, realizing that this happened on 9/11, realizing that this wasn't a Twin Tower, realizing that this didn't get hit by an airplane, knowing intuitively that it's a controlled demolition, just like the old hotels in Las Vegas. Okay, now they know that they were lied to, because this... by omission, this was censored from the mainstream media, censored from the American Institute of Architects. I'm an architect, one of 90,000 members of the American Institute of Architects. We didn't get one bulletin on the third worst structural failure in modern history. And that is what you're looking at there. Now, we're the architects. We specify the fireproofing to keep these buildings vulnerable, invulnerable to fires. And so that's why, by the way, we've never lost a steel frame fireproof skyscraper like this before, ever, to fires. We've had dozens of very hot, large, and long-lasting fires in these buildings, but not one of them has collapsed, much less in the manner, exact manner, of a classic controlled demolition. So 7 years later, NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, tasked by Congress to explain these collapses to the American people, tells us that this happened by normal office fires. Excuse me? What? This should have been the most studied building failure in history. And yet, not one bulletin to us architects, and very, very little exposure to the structural engineers who designed the structure to resist this kind of thing. So and yet it was 7 years. I mean, they were hoping everybody would forget about it. Those who knew about it in the first place, which was hardly anybody.
It sort of reminds me of the Warren Commission, where they're like, yeah, yeah, magic did it, bro. It was a magic bullet, all right? So seriously, no, magic's real. Just this one time it's real, okay? We tell you it's fake all the time, but now it's totally legit. And if you say anything different, you're a conspiracy theorist. And we'll send out a memo to all of our CIA assets in the American media to call you conspiracy theorists for even daring suggest that magic isn't real. All right, now let's just watch this thing here. Now imagine while we're watching this video that there is some kind of a wizard with a giant hat and a big wand or some kind of thing just powering this building, just going it into the ground and stuff. And imagine a government representative coming over and saying, yes, this is absolute magic, you know, right here. There was Gandalf the Building Slayer. He tapped it with his big stick and it just went down like that. You see, look at what magic can do. This, all right, you're dealing with lies. All right. This is the thing about gaslighting. All right. You're trying to get somebody to be convinced that they're not seeing what they're seeing.
Yeah.
All right. That all of your rational senses and everything that have got you this far, and you haven't fallen into a hole or died or something, have you? Okay. But just forget all of those. And just listen to this thing that we repeat to you over and over and over again. And please do not look at any of the things that we demonize and omit from all of our broadcasts. This is how you get the entirety of the public mind in a certain focus, all right? Yeah. And I think this deal that they struck was that it's a noble lie. Maybe we thought this was the best thing. Maybe we wanted the American century to last even longer. And that's why we needed all that oil. That's why we needed all those permanent bases. That's why we needed everything. I mean, just look at Russia. Look at how they've positioned their country around all our bases. You know, clearly they're a threat.
That's pretty funny. Yep. And they've been provoked now. And we've got the next looming disaster to replace the disaster of the last 2 years, which most unfortunately has been presented a solution, which more than half of us have swallowed hook, line, and sinker to our own great detriment. So I'm very concerned now, having been unleashed from AE 9/11 Truth, I'm now on my own with Richard Gage 9/11. So my spectrum of focus is wider as a result, but including the Pentagon there, which we have just completed a 12-hour conference by four major researchers and four very different theories on what did or didn't hit the Pentagon. I mean, this was a historic event in the 9/11 Truth Movement. It all happened yesterday. You can watch this. We've just uploaded the videos from that conference where each researcher had an hour and a half to present, followed by a half hour of very tough questions from the other researchers. We started out with Barbara Honegger, who suggests and shows her evidence for a large plane, smaller than a 757, though, blowing up outside the Pentagon and bringing debris everywhere, with the parallel explosions going on inside the Pentagon, which took out specific sectors of those who were looking, auditing the Pentagon, searching for the $2.3 trillion that Donald Rumsfeld had announced the day before was missing, as I mentioned. And so what else was hit? Able Danger, the project that was looking for Osama bin Laden. They didn't want him found, I guess. So we have a lot of problems here. That was theory A.
A lot of people don't even know these things. They probably think Able Danger was a protection program for handicapped children or something. Like, this is... Just dealing with this plague of misinformed ignorance. I'm sorry for interrupting. Please keep going.
No, I love it. Thank you. You're just brightening up my day big time. Theory B was brightening up a lot of people's day because we brought back from an 18-year absence in the 9/11 truth movement, Thierry Meyssan from France. He was an internet sensation, even in 2002, when he wrote the book Pentagate, which was a bit 9/11, a big lie, which was translated into 8 languages and really launched the 9/11 truth movement big time. So, but he's been doing his own analysis and activism and journalism in France and in the Middle East since. But we're able to bring him back to the scene, and he presented his evidence for a missile hitting the Pentagon. And so that was extraordinary, and we had some tough questions for him also.
That was Dmitry Kalazov's theory that the Kursk Russian submarine had a missile that was missing from it months before 9/11, and it was exactly the kind of missile that can fly along the waterline to take out, aircraft carriers and things like that, specifically designed. There was one guy I interviewed about it. And what I thought was very interesting is that as soon as you go one way or the other, without looking at the evidence kind of thing, you get this dynamic within the truth community, particularly the audience. He's a shill. He talks about this kind of stuff. That's kooky stuff or whatever. It's like, dude, there's satanic pedophiles running the world, all right? And we're worried about which theory or what, or, you know, and I was just like, how do you muddy the waters so much that everybody, instead of getting to the root of it, would just spend all their time fighting with each other and accusing each other of working for the government and spreading misinformation and things like that, and so that the government can just keep doing what it's doing without any organized resistance against it?
No, that's why we brought all 4 of these competing theories into one room. And what happened was quite magical, to use your term, because speaking, first of all, missiles from ships. There was a Russian general. I forget his name because I don't remember Russian generals' names as well as American generals. But anyway, he said, he notified the U.S. President, but he couldn't get a hold of him on 9/11 either, like nobody else could. And he said they had evidence that a U.S. naval ship had fired 2 missiles. One went into the water, and one went into the Pentagon. And that was some evidence that was its third person. But anyway, it was very interesting for those of us to hear. Theory C followed him. That's Craig McKee, Adam Ruff, and Xander Arena, who had their evidence to support their theory that a plane came in, but that it flew over the Pentagon. It did not impact the Pentagon, and thus explosives must have been preset to create all the damage to look like a plane hit the Pentagon, and the light poles must have been faked, and so forth. And so this is the flight path north of the Citgo gas station. And so they had an hour and a half, followed by some extremely tough questions from Theory D, David Chandler and Wayne Costa, who presented their theory, which is more in alignment with the official narrative that states that a plane came in south of the Citgo gas station, being responsible for knocking over the light poles in the path there and then impacting the Pentagon, and that all the plane damage and people went into the Pentagon, and part of that damage created an exit hole in alignment with that path. So they got some very tough questions from the others, who all of whom said there was no impact of a plane on the building. So in the end, we had a final Q&A where all of them were brought together in one room, answering questions by the attendees. This time, 300 people yesterday in this room, asking questions of the seven or eight presenters total in the room. And it was extraordinary because they were called on some of their previous behavior and, frankly, some of their current behavior yesterday in the actual conference. But in the end, they all agreed, for the most part, to work together, particularly based on more scientific analysis that was presented, for instance, by Theory C, by Xander Arena, who brought forth some new evidence showing that, hey, if there was a plane, he did this detailed analysis showing vectors and field of view from the point of the security cameras mounted outside the Pentagon that were finally forced to release. The Pentagon was forced to release them. And there's Thierry Maison, who came back from the 18-year absence from the 9/11 Truth Movement. He was quite wonderful. His evidence wasn't as forensic as some of the others, but an amazing analysis and heartwarming story, as personal story as well, that he brought to bear. So we have in the final Q&A, here is all of these presenters, 9/11 researchers with their theories, all in panels on the screen, all waving and thanking together each other and the attendees who came to be a part of the conference. So this was really heartwarming, and there was promises of working together more objectively and respectfully. And I think we accomplished something, Vinny.
I think it's one of the main problems in our society is cowardice. Now, when you have a disagreement with somebody, what does the coward do? Do they come and talk to you and say, is it true? And let's talk through it. No, they don't. That takes courage. And this is the best idea I've ever seen, you know, just in general in life, is bringing people who disagree together in a comfortable, non-hostile format to just compare notes. When you bring two minds together, you can often fill in the blanks for each other. When you bring the more minds that you bring in from all these different eclectic fields, a more holistic view do you get.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And what's been going on for a decade in the 9/11 Truth Movement, particularly regarding the Pentagon, is a real ugly food fight. And I was a little afraid that some of that was going to spill over in the conference that I hosted yesterday. But Gail is a great presence, my wife and assistant, and she was extraordinary in, at first begging these presenters to be on their best behavior, but then insisting and calling them out. So she did a great job.
Yep. Well, it seems to me that it's a behavioral thing. When you're traumatized, right? And as far as I'm concerned, I haven't yet met anybody who spends their life trying to bring truth to people in some way, shape, or form who hasn't been traumatized. And ostensibly the reason for this, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, it might not necessarily be a good thing, but I was having a conversation with a few people yesterday about politics, and I've run a number of election campaigns for people in this country's history, and talk to all of these leaders and things of that nature. And I found that it's very, very similar with activists, conspiracy theorists, and anything like that. There's personality difficulties there. All right. Why do we do what we do? Because we can't get over the thing that traumatized us really badly. And so we desperately try to go out and solve the root cause of the problem so that nobody gets traumatized again in the way that we do, because we're unable to actually deal with it ourselves and we don't know how. But what we do know is that what happened is wrong and that we can prevent it from possibly happening to other people in the future. That's why people live their lives doing this kind of thing.
That's deeply insightful. Probably true, too. But I was unaware of that particular perspective or analysis regarding those of us who have given our lives, 15 years of my life anyway, well, it's when I woke up. I mean, before that, I was wanting to go and get those bastards in Afghanistan and Iraq who did this to us, you know. I'm sure Colin Powell was going to go find his weapons of mass destruction over there. But it turns out he didn't. They didn't even bother to create them and plant them and blame them on Saddam Hussein. But they sure did a great job of blaming the Taliban for the sins of Osama bin Laden, which turn out to not even have been, he turns out not to even been involved in the planning or execution of 9/11. He's just a patsy, just like the hijackers that they planted.
You know what would be really disappointing? To see somebody who understands 9/11 was an inside job, understands how the media works and how it lies and distorts and manipulates, and then just get sucked in by the next crisis the government tells you, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the one we're going through right now, this crisis, you know? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, disclaimer, the Vinnie Eastwood Show does not endorse any, what was it? Does not encourage any breaches of the New Zealand COVID-19 laws because it's illegal in this country. Like honestly, this is, yeah, just like gone nuts. All these protesters went down to Wellington and they just got forced off. It was like nothing we'd ever seen. Like, I'd seen it on Police State 4 and other documentaries and things of that nature in the United States when they were using the crowd control weaponry and they were testing it on the population. And then we saw the New Zealand police roll in with all these sophisticated weapons that we'd seen many, many years ago being deployed on protesters around the world. And we hadn't seen it deployed here. We hadn't seen clouds of pepper spray. We hadn't seen LRAD weapons. We hadn't seen riot police. And now we have.
They came out of nowhere.
Yeah. A bunch of people sitting around on Parliament Law preaching peace and love and please don't mandate us. And we love you. We're doing this for you. And then they just cracked their skulls and burned all of their stuff and threw it away. And I hope now that people realize what they're dealing with, the kind of malign intelligence that those of us with conscience face. And yeah, it's not like it's right in your face right now. It's everywhere all the time. All right. Now, what that does is it creates a feeling of anxiety within the brain, an aura of endless threat. This is how they get people to stop thinking. The difference between an ordinary public person who gets swayed by the media and people like Richard and myself is we do that thing that you're not supposed to do. Thinking.
Yeah, we have somehow been less vulnerable to that programming method of fear, a constant state of fear with solutions provided to problems that are far worse than the manufactured problems they were said to be solving. And that's no more true than the last couple of years. And I'm sure this relates to the current crisis in the Ukraine as well. As I've been hearing, we've been lied to about what's really going on in Ukraine, though I'm not really qualified to speak about it because my time has gone into developing value for the 9/11 truth movement in the form of these quarterly conferences, which have been absent. We're going to be going into Shanksville next, because there's another huge lie, another part of the false flag operation that we've been provided in that case study 20 years ago. We're still studying it to wake people up, because the truth about 9/11 in all of its components, the World Trade Center, where I've focused for the last 15 years, the Pentagon, where I focused for the last month, but bringing experts who have been focusing for the last 10 or more years, and then Shanksville, where we're told that a plane went almost straight down, upside down, into this hole in the ground that wasn't that deep and buried itself, and they couldn't find passengers, and there are stories of a plane being shot down somewhere else, landing 8 miles away. not somewhere else, but the plane landing somewhere else. So Shanksville is a fascinating study, and I haven't focused on it myself, but I'm going to be looking for the experts who will be bringing that to our attention in hopefully July. Because in September, we're talking about bringing a very special conference, but I can't quite talk about that yet. But that's something that I can do. I've developed a certain amount of trust in the 9/11 truth movement. And now that I'm free of the constraints that I had self-imposed on myself for those 15 years, having recently been ejected from my seat of authority in that organization by those whom I trusted, for having spoken outside of the box, and perhaps mistakenly so, because I definitely needed to be focusing on the World Trade Center when I'm representing the 3,500 architects and engineers who signed the petition that I created calling for a new investigation into the destruction of the three World Trade Center skyscrapers. But here I was talking about COVID, and somebody had put a microphone in my face, and I'd just heard a bunch of lectures at the Red Pill Expo in South Dakota.
Me and G. Edward Griffin puts on a great conference.
Yep. It was incredible. And I was moved. I mean, and I let this guy, not the guy, but his recorder have it. And so anyway, that was played to Slate Magazine, which played it to Spike Lee, who a year ago had brought me to Brooklyn to interview me for 2 hours. And I gave him a lot of truth, and he was deeply moved. And so he put this in a hour and a half special, or 2 hour special, that was slated to go on HBO and to millions of people. But he got a lot of heat from the powers that be, and I don't think it helped that I was talking about the danger of the vaccines. And he was, of course, trying to get the black folks vaccinated in New York, because they're an underrepresented group because of racism, presumably. Anyway, this didn't all play and mix well, and he ended up pulling the 30-minute episode, which was a big blow to all of us in the 9/11 truth movement, and I took responsibility and still do for that. But since then, we found out that he's blamed the media more than me, or perhaps exclusively. So I was a little relieved by that. But our board in August decided that they were going to listen to the PR consultant who said, this is a huge PR crisis, and you got to let the CEO go to solve it. And so we had a vicious battle, and I lost narrowly. And here I am with 5 months of brand new organization, starting from scratch, building my email list from less than 500 up to 1,000, and now up to 6,000. So we're doing well, We're very, very, I am delighted being partnered with my wife in the series of podcasts that we're presenting 2 times a week. We've got incredible guests, John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. We've got Foster Gamble.
I had both of them on my show, actually, Foster Gamble and John Perkins. And I think it was John Perkins after his thing. It was something like, you know, Vinny, I've done over 1,000 interviews and I've been in like 100 documentaries, but this was the best interview I ever did.
I don't doubt it. I do not doubt it at all. I mean, you're a deep thinker. And you do bring out something inside of us, your guests, that's fresh. And I appreciate that. Thank you, Vinny.
Which reminds me, speaking of that, I was interviewing a guy who was on the USS Liberty, the one that was bombed by Israel, killed 60, I think nearly 60 Americans died and 200 wounded that day. And he said that wasn't really what traumatized him, you know. He was prepared for the job, you know, when you're under attack and stuff like that. That was okay. It was hard watching his friends die, but when he came back and the government covered it up, that's what traumatized him.
It woke him up, too.
When we go and do these petitions and things of that nature, Penny Brighton's old activist from New Zealand, God rest her soul, she once told me that you've got to make your issue wide at the base and narrow at the tip, something everybody can agree to, that one point, so that you can get the most people involved supporting you. And I think this is kind of what architects and engineers for 9/11 truth kind of did. They had that very basic, simple point that people can do and do this petition off. Now, the question is, though, in terms of going off on other issues, we do live in a complex world and it is holistic, and not every piece of information is completely separate from the other. I know this from personal experience in my show that conversations can have really interesting tangents that can swirl and then suddenly come around, and you realize that the seemingly unrelated thing was related all along, and it becomes much clearer. How can you be a 9/11 truther if you got exterminated because you ignored the evidence about vaccines and things of that nature before it was too late? You see, I think that there is a consciousness problem here. You're either all in on the truth, to use the Texas Hold'em term, or you're just putting in your kitty.
Yeah, I don't know. I believe that many truthers, maybe a third or a quarter of the 9/11 truth movement, has bought the COVID narrative from the mainstream, has bought the vaccinations from the mainstream, and I don't understand why we could see such a broad, incredibly scoped lie with regard to 9/11 and how it was planned and executed for a decade, at least, and then completely censored the truth across the board through 95% of the media, which, by the way, is controlled by just 5 corporations, and who in turn are controlled by those who are controlling the arms industry, the oil industry, the banking industry, the insurance industry. But realize, even hopefully knowing that, but probably not realizing the vast implications of what we're up against here with this deeper state than we could have possibly imagined when we started on the 9/11 truth movement, that the pharmaceutical industry, who purchases 70% of our television advertising and thus owns the news companies, And by the way, the pharmaceutical industry, or at least one or more, many of its corporations who have given us the vaccines are controlled by Vanguard and BlackRock, who are in control of the economy and essentially the Federal Reserve. These international corporations owe nothing to us, the people, and have provided no fairness in their control of the government. Why would we believe that the untested solution to the manufactured problem would be somehow safe to take, especially when there's plenty of evidence out there that it's absolutely the opposite, that what's in these evil concoctions is scarier than anything they put together for us for 9/11, or the solution even for 9/11 wars. This is a war on our psyche, a war on the American people, and I just can't keep quiet about it.
Well, when you don't have any actual real power, like the ability to just hold someone down and force them to do what you want, and the government holds that power, the only power you truly have is to stand up, tell the truth. That's it at the end of the day. And I believe that there's a significant margin for error here, because if I may, let's say for instance, if what you say is true, and I know it is because I've done my own research, that ostensibly all of the major industries within this world, anything that you'd really see a logo for or be able to see an advertisement on TV or something of that nature, they may not be working together per se. Maybe they just don't know it. What if it's all part of one big web that is tapped into everything? What if everything we've ever learned from the TV, from movies, from schooling, is a big, big lie? What if trust in authority, just in general, what if authority in and of itself was always the biggest lie that we told ourselves? That yes, there's always going to be somebody there to tell us the truth, that we don't have to think for ourselves. There's always going to be there somebody to keep us safe when times are scary. The helplessness of people, learned helplessness. I think that people have been trained to feel this way, to look up to others, to handle the problems for them, and this dynamic exists within the truth movement as well, which is why I always say the main point of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com is for you, the audience, to stop listening to the show. Whatever it is you do, you might not be a talk radio host, you might not be a researcher, you might not be somebody with some big qualification or whatever, but I guarantee you, you've got ideas. Ideas that, if left in your head, don't make this world better. Hmm. And I believe that if you sit there absorbing knowledge and you do not use it, that is the definition of useless knowledge. And if you possess knowledge that you do use and you don't pass it on, that is the definition of a wasted existence. Turn the show off, ladies and gentlemen. Go do whatever it is that's in your mind to do, something that you know to be right. That's the main point of the show. The other point of the show is, of course, give me money. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and donate today. My guest here is Richard Gage, not AE911 Truth, actually. We've now got Richard Gage and 911.org. And the thing is about, I don't like to work for people, you know. I like to work with people. Mm. And I've collaborated with many people who are like enemies, you know, and they find out that I've interviewed this person on the show or something like that, and they come out and attack me or whatever. Well, why don't you just come on the show, bro? Like, and have a chat. You know, what's the problem? I really don't have a dog in this fight. I've you know, somebody goes, hey, why do you get out in the morning, Vinny? Well, principally a fear of getting enslaved and subsequently exterminated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. Has the scumbaggery stopped? No? Okay. Shit, I didn't get to work then.
Yeah, that's what it's been like every morning for me, too. Or it's 17 years now, I'm afraid. Not 15. I just counted. No, I was really angry. Here's what happened to me, Vinny. I was on my way back from a construction observation meeting, working for another architecture group, and I heard on the radio David Ray Griffin, who's now written 14 books on the subject of 9/11 truth. I mean, he's done his homework. He's an elderly gentleman, a theologian, actually, talking on the radio with Bonnie Faulkner at KPFA. Guns and Butter program is the name of her program. A free speech radio in Berkeley, California. I'm going, okay, I'm going to listen to this communist station. Because I was the flag-waving Reagan Republican, right, on the other side of the political spectrum, divided and programmed to be so. But here's what he said. He talked about this Building 7 that we just went through. And I'm going, well, wait a minute. I'm an architect. I would have heard if there was another building, that skyscraper, for crying out loud, what would be the tallest building in most of our states. I would have heard it. So then he talked about it, and I went and found out, my God, it's true. There was a third skyscraper. What else is he saying? He's talking about the Twin Towers and how these 4 and 8 ton structural steel sections were blown out of the towers, thousands of them, landing 600 feet in every direction, such that there's no big pile of steel down at the bottom of either of the towers. I mean, that's a third of the weight of these towers. Well, but it's way outside of the towers themselves. It's not in the footprint, and neither is the concrete. The concrete's another third of the weight of these towers. And he was talking about no pancakes stacked up at the bottom of these towers. It's pulverized in midair, landing in a 3-inch thick blanket across lower Manhattan, river to river. So it's not available either to crush the towers, because there's no stack of pancakes found at the bottom. It's all very clearly developed in these explosions, dozens and dozens of them on each facade at the same time, blowing out squibs of solid materials. And he went on to say that the top part is not driving down the rest of the building. It has been destroyed in the first 4 seconds. After that, there's nothing but explosions tearing apart the building all the way down, shattering the 100,000 tons of steel structure in each of these towers. He talked about the molten metal found by the first responders, 2,800 degree Fahrenheit temperatures everywhere, pouring out of the South Tower minutes prior to its collapse. He talked about the firefighters, witnesses of molten metal, the ends of the beams dripping with molten metal. Kerosene, which is jet fuel, doesn't do that. I mean, jet fuel, which is essentially kerosene, it doesn't do that. I mean, I'm hearing things like 156 first responders who are witnesses of explosions before the towers ever came down. And then hearing pop, 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 they say like controlled demolition, like when you bring down a building. They're hearing explosions like a train running under their feet. They're feeling it. And then the building starts to fall. They're seeing flashes of light. Many of them, this is all documented, and David Ray Griffin, this theologian, was putting all this in very logical order on this radio program, and I'm just sinking lower and lower. I'm going, well, this guy is obviously lying. He he must have an agenda, but it didn't seem like it. He seemed, you know, fairly, you know, vulnerable and just simply telling what he knew from these sources, which could be verified by anybody who was listening, like me. So I went and verified it. My God, did I find out that everything he was saying was true? I had just never come across it before. But then so my world started to turn around because, Vinny, if this is true, what would that mean? That mean the whole world, in large measure, was deceived, and we were lied to on a massive scale. And I personally, very personally, I took this, was lied to, and I just said to myself, I am not going to take this. I'm not going to go along with this. I can't. So I started doing some research. There was lawyers for 9/11 Truth. There was pilots for 9/11 Truth. There was scientists for 9/11 Truth. Where are the architects and engineers, for Christ's sake? These are buildings. These are huge buildings. Surely there's architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. Guess what? This was 2006. There were no architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. And I realized it was falling on my shoulders. I'm not an activist. I didn't know how to run a PowerPoint. I'd never spoken in public. But I knew like you just said, I got to do something because this is unjust. And my God, I thought to myself, all I have to do is get this evidence in front of people and they'll see it. And I did that. I created a PowerPoint. I took it to the architecture firm I worked for. There was 15 of them. I showed them the evidence. I made them come. Well, I didn't make them. I bribed them with pizza. And so they came, 15 of them, who thought I was nuts.
You should have ironically bribed them with pancakes, but go on.
And guess what? After 45 minutes of actually seeing the evidence, which people can see on my website, richardgage911.org, there's dozens of really good videos there, particularly the documentary I made 10 years ago called 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. So that's in the evidence section and the videos. So you can see there the documentaries that we've made, and they're extraordinary. This here is the actual Pentagon conference. But if you click on WTC Evidence and click on videos down there, halfway down, you'll see it there, that one. And so this is actually amazing documentary evidence of experts, 40 high-rise experts, structural engineers, metallurgists, chemists, physicists, controlled demolition experts. Those videos will load up in a second. It's a heavily graphic, intensive page there. But I and the presentations that I've made around the world, the interviews, the TV and radio, 600 of them, it's all here, and people can learn so much just by watching the videos. But there's technical articles. There's many, many books, many of David Ray Griffin's books himself. It's all here. But so people, like you said, they've got the knowledge. Once they get to our website and realize there's a problem, they inform themselves so they have an informed opinion, rather than just joining the crowd and saying, "Oh, those are conspiracy theorists." That's more common than not, unfortunately. But for those brave souls who dare to question their own internal frame of reference and worldview, it gets real scary. That's the reason why many people cannot go and look at the evidence, because once they do, and I've got them for 45 minutes to an hour and a half, they're stuck with the realization that I was, that this is not going to be easy for them, that they're going to have to deal with this and take action, take responsibility. It's surprising, Vinny, how few of us there are that will are capable of taking that step. And that was the biggest revelation to me in developing our organization, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, that I ran for 15 years. It was just shocking.
People respond to threats in different ways, don't they?
It's like death. You said it yourself. You've got a family that is experiencing the worst kind of, let's call it, sexual abuse in this family. The father and a daughter, say. And what power does that daughter have to even ask for help when from a child she's experienced something she has no way of understanding at all? And the father is the survival mechanism. That's like God. You don't challenge your abusers when you're a child. And many grow up into teenagehood and even adults and with the incapability of challenging the abusers. Well, that's us in our society. We've been abused so much now, traumatized, not just by 9/11, but by the false flag attacks that prompted World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War. All of it has been manipulated. The Oklahoma City bombing, a false flag operation. Most of the bombings that we've seen, FBI-sponsored false flag operations covered up by the FBI.
I remember that happened in 2012. Someone came in and said, hey, there's been a bomb scare in New York City. And I say, oh, don't worry, it's probably just the FBI, you know, without even looking at it. And then, you know, the next day evidence came out that it was the FBI. I was like, see, told you. All right. When you get into journalism, you become jaded and cynical. All right. And generally speaking, what that means is you make cynical assumptions about things. 90% of the time they're correct. And 10% of the time you're very pleasantly surprised.
It's bad. It's really bad. And the shootings that have gone on. So I'm not going to go into the details of all that. I am not an expert in all that, but they're out there. And if anybody wants to start, although Googling, you won't find much by way of Google and even YouTube these days because of the
incredible. I tried to find Richard Gage on Google this morning just to test. I could not find you. All right.
Fascinating.
All I found was pages going conspiracy theorist debunking him and that kind of stuff. No, none of the positive mentions or any of the other appearances and things like that. Like I've done searches like this before in the past, you know, when we've done our other interviews. I've never seen anything like this, man. This is a complete information saturation, just putting it right down, man. It's crazy. And I think the physiological responses that we have in our amygdala kind of thing, this is how it sort of works, especially when you give people this kind of information. I interviewed a guy named Neil Sanders one time, and he wrote a book called Tickle Your Amygdala. And, you know,
right back here.
The first obvious question is, so Neil, have you ever been in your room by yourself tickling your amygdala and your mum came in and caught you? But that's the most obvious question first, but the second part of it, it's just still talking about the different ways that we respond to threats. People know about fight or flight, you know, they hear about it all the time, but there's actually not two responses, there's actually five. Fight. Can I kill this thing? Let's kill it. Flight. Can I kill this thing? No, it's going to kill me. Let's get out of here. Three. Can I run from this thing or kill it? No, I can't. Freeze response. That's what we commonly call in clinical circles anxiety. A lot of people got that, right? Can you run from the government? Can you just kill it? No, you can't. So you go into the freeze response. You get anxiety. Fourth response is submission. I can't kill it. I can't run from it. Me not doing anything doesn't work. It won't go away. So I have to submit to it and do what it says. And then the last response attach when all the other threats don't work. You attach yourself to your abuser. Yes, government. Yes, suppress me harder. Yes, lock me in my home. Yes, force all those other people who aren't doing the things that you're telling me to do that I'm doing without question to do all the things too in as brutal a manner as possible. Save me, Daddy Government. Save me.
And I've got family, and I've got friends, and I've got colleagues, and I've got neighbors who fall into that category, most unfortunately. And I've lost a lot of them along the path as I sharpen my mind and open it to even worse conspiracies, if you will, than we've been talking about today. If you believe that, I mean, if you can imagine that, I've found out that it's true. And there's rabbit holes I won't go down, frankly, Vinny, because I don't want to acknowledge the implications of them.
Mm.
So I've got my own line in the sand. Well, I wouldn't call it that. I got my own walls up.
Yeah, well, you kind of do in terms of stability in your life. And this is something that become very abundantly clear to me recently, especially after looking at some of Anthony Robbins' work. And he looks at all the most successful people in the world. And what does the most successful religions do is the same thing as the most successful people do. They have rituals. Daily rituals that they engage in that keeps their faith strong, keeps their body in a certain state, and allows them to keep doing whatever work it is they're doing. I've got my rituals of the day, Richard's got his, and it's because we are able to stick to those balanced, ordinary rules of our lives that we're able to keep continuing doing this work. When new people come in, they think they can convince everybody that 9/11 is an inside job by the end of the year. And they burn their candle at both ends and they freak out. They get depressed. They start bargaining their way out of it. And then they go back to their slave job because they think everybody's too stupid and nobody will ever wake up. No, this is not your job. You can't convince anybody of anything. But you can tell them things that they cannot unhear, is what David Icke told me.
Well put.
All right. So in terms of this concept, I like to end the shows with this little rant. I got asked one time by an American talk radio host couple, you know, so Vinny, give it to us straight. Is the earth flat or is it round? And I went, well, I think it's a holographic fractal projection of collective consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. And they were like, whoa. So it sounds complex, and it is, but it's not complicated. Holograms are information storage design. If I take a snapshot of us right now, embed it into a hologram, try to delete it off the hologram, I can't delete it. I can just make it half the resolution, half as fuzzy. You ever see information get deleted offline or omitted by the media, but it's still out there? It's just like that, because reality is holographic, just like your memories. You forgot something, you see one thing that brings all those memories back, doesn't it? Everything's stored on tiny little pieces of devices, physically and immaterially, and it's all done in a fractal pattern as well. So that means if you look inside one of your cells, you'll find other cells that are unaware of the fact that they're part of a cell, and inside those other little ones you'll find that they're completely independent cells in there, all infinitely down the scale and infinitely up the scale too. Cells are these little round toroidal structures, and so is the planet that we're living on, so is the galaxy that it's living in, and probably so is the universe that it's a part of. And the universe is probably one small little speck in a much larger organism we don't even have a word for yet. Nothing can be forgotten. Everything's a smaller or larger representation of something else, and this reality is being projected by all matter and all living beings, because all matter has consciousness. They did this thing called the double slit experiment, where they shot a proton gun through these two metal slots, and they figured what would happen. It was just go bang on the aluminium foil behind. They'd figure out how the proton exploded, but it didn't. It went bang, turned into a waveform as it went through the slot, and did this beautiful kind of like ripple effect on the aluminium foil behind it. They're like, whoa, that's interesting. Let's put a little camera there, see how that happened. Bang, bang. The proton had consciousness. It got stage fright. It acted differently because it was being observed. That means... that means everything in the material universe has consciousness. Protons, electrons, neutrons, morons. You know, they've all got consciousness of some degree or another. And what happens is they project this idea or this vibe or something like that over everything. And so if you are a conscious being, you don't exist just in the three-dimensional universe. You exist basically simultaneously within five dimensions. First dimension's a dot, second dimension's a line, third dimension's a box, fourth dimension's the box moving through time. And the fifth dimension is where all your thoughts are while somebody else is speaking. They don't really exist until you spend your fourth dimensional time willing that idea into the three-dimensional universe. Only there does it have value. Only there can it be seen or smelled or tasted or touched. Only there can it inspire others' fifth-dimensional ideas that they too can manifest into reality. You don't know what your works are going to accomplish, because what you accomplish is almost irrelevant. What you help others achieve long after you are gone is the true achievement of your life's magnum opus, the great work. For as the Greeks said, your job in life is to plant a tree whose shade you know you shall never get to sit beneath. Richard, I want to thank you for doing all your work all these years. You've been doing your work as long as I've been doing mine, and I know what it takes. And I know what it costs, and I know how many good guys start, and how few of us there are left.
Thank you, Vinny. That means a lot to me.
It should do. I'm pretty meaningful like that. Now, this is... Now, this is your website here, richardgage911.org. And how long? You said this has only been up for like 5 months, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a lot going on there. The whole history of my work from 40 years ago to the present, down at the bottom in the About Us section. The whole story of AE911 Truth there. I am now flying solo. Read about it and watch my podcast. And I'm fearless, Vinny. I'm going to keep going. We're going to go after these, like I said, these bastards that did this to us. Not the ones in Afghanistan and Iraq, but the real perpetrators of 9/11. We're coming after you.
You're your own man. You now have your own rules, and you can speak for yourself. Sometimes people would fear this because they're now kind of like alone, but nah, man, this is the best thing ever when you realize that you can just be yourself, where you can say what you truly feel and know that you truly now have liberty. What's liberty? It's when somebody tells you to do something and you can say no and not be shown consequences for doing so.
Excellent.
Beautiful, right? Thank you very much for your time today. RichardGage911.org is the website. But before we go, please, I want some kind of... I want something from you. I don't know what it is. It's not.
I'll tell you what it is. Yeah. I think we need to bring all the evidence we've developed over 15 years to court. And guess what? We're doing it. The And her third banner down is 9/11 crime scene to courtroom on the right side. Take a look at that one. We're making a film series up above there. Up above on the right. Yeah, the blue one. Co-produce this film on the right side. Down on the right.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yep.
That right. Yeah. The Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry is an incredible team of a dozen attorneys who are focused on justice for the 9/11 family members. And they're taking our evidence and they have submitted it to a U.S. attorney and 60 exhibits and demanding a grand jury investigation. And we got a promise from the U.S. attorney that we don't trust, that he will impanel a special grand jury, which is the law that he's bound by. And so we're suing him to prove it, A, and B, that's oral arguments have been given in the highest court, second highest court in the land. But we're also making a film. I'll be filmed in the courtroom along with Mick Harrison, the litigation director of LC-911. And this film series is all the evidence, section by section, being made for the grand jurors. I will be explaining to them with experts coming in to back us up. Mick Harrison explaining the legal implications of the evidence, showing the grand jury what their opportunities are here to subpoena witnesses and who might be a material witness for them to subpoena. This has never been done. It's a historic opportunity. The director, Christina Borgeson, Emmy award-winning investigative journalist and filmmaker, is going to be putting her heart into this starting next month. It's a $120,000 budget. We've raised $40,000 so far. This whole Pentagon conference we talked about earlier was a fundraiser for this film. She is on fire, and she made the film TWA 800 to show another false flag operation. I wouldn't call it that. It certainly that plane was shot down by ordnance, and that was through military intelligence. And that was lied about. And they said, oh, no, the gas tank caught on fire or something. But people saw missiles going from ground to air, a missile to take that plane down. So she's bringing that expertise, having made that film, into this arena. So if we succeed in court in forcing the U.S. attorney to present this, and we will be submitting this film to as a supplement to this original petition of 60 exhibits of forensic evidence for the World Trade Center destruction, this could just blow it wide open. And so maybe that is one of the many activities that we're doing here at Richard Gage 9/11 and at LC-911 to break through and give us all hope that, you know, somewhere there's going to be a crash of the wall of denial about 9/11 and this deep state will come right down with it, because 9/11 is a domino that'll begin to knock all the other ones over.
I believe that we are in a pincher domino formation, whereby all the dominoes that we try to topple are simply supported by the next domino, right? And that was the thing. They're all pinned against each other, as opposed to just standing up and able to wobble and that kind of thing, because it's a full network frame that we're dealing with. And on that note, I thought about the death of a thousand cuts. You're doing this in this vein. I'm doing what I'm doing in this vein. There are many, many others that don't do necessarily what we do, but they're doing their own things. And I remember what Ian Wishart's book, Totalitarian, said about the difference between conspiracy theory and convergence theory. Mm. Convergence theory is when somebody's bleeding in the water, and suddenly there's a shark feeding frenzy. Do all these sharks know each other? Are they all friends? Are they all working together? No. They're simply converging because they share the same target. You. And I believe that the reverse is true right now, is that there's a convergence between all of us, even if we know each other or are familiar with each other's work or not, all that work is contributing to bringing down this one target. Them.
I love it. I love it.
For as Cliff High from halfpasthuman.com told me, that humanity's spirit is like a water spring. What happens when you try to push down water that is bursting forth to the surface? It goes sideways. It burrows through rock and sand and mud and bursts through to the surface from places you could not predict or comprehend.
Yeah.
That is what humanity's spirit is like. That is what happens when you even so much as try to keep us down. So,
yeah.
With that being said, Richard, thank you so much for your time. And I'd also like to thank my sponsors, all the individual sponsors as well, who donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show regularly and through one-offs. I want to thank all the people who are Patreons of the Vinnie Eastwood Band. We're making a song about our Prime Minister, Jacinda, kind of from based on Boney M's Rasputin. It goes something like, Ja, Ja, Jacinda, New Zealand's Joseph Mangala. She wants to stick that jab in your arm. Ja, Ja, Jacinda, balls bigger than her teeth are. It's such a shame we let it go on. Yeah. And you can, unfortunately, though, we nearly got our band's Patreon page banned. You know, band, it'd be interesting being a band, you know, like a band of brothers. But in either case, we can't actually show that song to you. So if you are a Patreon and you do want to see the karaoke version of that, you know, sing it with your friends and whatnot, we've already made the video and we can send it out to you and you can have a good laugh at all the intricate lyrics that I spent months working on with the help of actually a number of talented musicians. So thevinnieeastwoodshow.com/donate.html, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. Would also like to thank my sponsors, who I've completely forgotten to even put their little panels up on this live streaming software while we're working on the backup computer, as the main one's being fixed. Thank you for those of you who donated that $907 to do those extensive repairs and stuff for it. It's just, yeah, when you've got a like a nearly a $12,000 machine and it's the only thing you can really do your shows on properly, man, you need to get that fixed real quick. Anyway, HoldenHealthCare.com, specialist in naturopathic oncology and hard to treat cases. David Holden has treated even my father, my eldest sister, and basically the difference between HoldenHealthCare.com is the emphasis on the care. Who are you? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing for a job? What kind of stress is it? What are you eating? Where are you going in the morning? What's your morning routine? You really get to know you in order to help you heal from whatever it is that is afflicting you. HoldenHealthCare.com. And also reopen.nz. This is a directory of unvaxxed, friendly, pro-choice, all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. Reopen.nz. You can add your business on there as well. We have all sorts of tradies and cafes and alternative health people and various different forms of New Zealand businesses helping out. And lastly, just to cover our sponsors up, the Nightmare on Molesworth Street t-shirt that we have on screen. Molesworth Street is like the Pennsylvania Avenue of New Zealand, and we can see here our old Cindy Krueger with vaccines for hands and she's coming out of the clouds above the New Zealand Parliament with a little song down the bottom here. I kind of envisioned two little girls skipping in a dark alleyway or something like that with the ethereal steam kind of coming out of the gate. One, two, Cindy's coming for you. And you can get one of those t-shirts at rebeltees.nz. And of course, thank you, all of you who have sponsored. Thank you, Richard, for coming on the show. And for those of you who are just tuning in, thank you very much. Ladies, gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation.
The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse.
It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because you're making me laugh. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes.